97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Listen as Sharon Hill discusses trending topics in today's business world with entrepreneurs and leaders in the community and what they're doing to provide innovation and guidance for success. Find this and all episodes at WCHL's chapelboro.com. Now, Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
So glad you could join us today. I have a very special guest. It's Berkeley Grimble, who is the owner and founder of Grimble Jewelers. I'm sure you've heard his ads. Berkeley, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Berkeley, let's talk about Grimble Jewelers. Why did you start Grimble Jewelers?
I started Grimble Jewelers because in the early 80s, I was a member of a craft gallery called China Berry in Chapel Hill. We had a little upstairs gallery, and we lost our lease in 1985, and I was thinking, well, what do I do next? And a small space in Carmel Mall opened up. I think it was 350 square feet for $300 or something like that. And so I decided, well, let's go ahead and try to do a store myself.
Now, what qualifies you to be a jeweler?
Absolutely nothing. I have no training in any of the things that I do. I have a degree in English from Carolina. And the people always ask me, how did you get in the jewelry business? And the long story short is my college roommate went to Amsterdam one summer and learned how to make this wire jewelry from, as the story goes, Japanese hippies on the street in Amsterdam. And he came back and taught my other roommate and I and how to do it. And he was a Cuban, very good entrepreneur. And he said, we can do this. So we started doing it and it was successful. And I started thinking, well, gosh, I'm meeting girls and making money at the same time. What could be better than this? And then I started buying more tools and buying books. And basically, I became self-taught.
And
as a jeweler.
As a jeweler.
Yeah.
Well, my goodness. Do you specialize in any particular kinds of jewelry?
I mean, personally, I like to make sort of more, I'd say, artsy, craftsy type pieces still, even after all these years. So I'm not really deeply trained in all of the higher techniques personally. I mean, we have jewelers at Grimble Jewelers who are and can do all that sort of thing.
Ah, okay.
But I mean, I'm sort of more of a, you know, artistic jeweler in terms of what I like to make.
So you actually make some or
make
most
things.
Of the jewelry that
no,
you
no,
sell?
No. We most of what we have in the store is, you know, from other vendors and designers.
Oh, I see.
But we do lots of custom work, and then I have a case of jewelry which I've made, so I still get to make a few things.
Yeah.
In the middle of it all.
Would you say that your heart, your life has shifted from English to jewelry after all these years, and that's really your passion?
I would say it was never really in English. I was a good solid C student. So I was... I majored in English because I made A's in high school. So what do you do?
You know, what do you do? What right. do you do? And you stayed in Chapel Hill. Why did you decide to stay in Chapel Hill?
You know, I thought about that question a lot over the years. And the reason is because there are so many smart people who live in this area. And I think that is the real reason that has kept me here, or particularly in the beginning kept me here, because you don't meet many dumb people.
You don't many dumb people in Chapel Hill. Amen
and
to that.
That's, I really like that. It's
yeah.
It's nice. I mean, even your plumber listens to NPR in Chapel Hill, I think. So, I mean.
That's true.
That's why I'm here, because my plumber listens to NPR.
Well, tell us about your background, your history. You mentioned you were in school and you went to Amsterdam, I believe.
Your Cuban roommate went to Amsterdam.
Went to Amsterdam.
Learned how to make jewelry from Japanese hippies.
Understand. Right. Wow, what a story. Well, tell us about you, because I'm sure if all of our listeners will hear all your wonderful ads, let's hear some more about you to learn the background of your life.
Well, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, and came to Chapel Hill and pretty much stayed here with a few years gone ever since.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there hasn't been much movement in my life, and I've done one thing, which is basically be a jeweler
be
in
a
Chapel
jeweler.
Hill.
Be a jeweler. Oh, my gosh.
So I have, I guess, a deep experience in a very narrow spot.
Okay, we're very happy with that. I'm sure most of our listeners have heard your fantastic ads. I've always been curious for the creativity of those ads. Do you create what you want to say? I know WCHL must have some hands in it, but it sounds like it's mostly you. Would that be a fair statement?
I write some of them, and some of them I actually get from a professional writer who writes for jewelry stores.
Okay.
So some of them I can't take credit for the writing.
Okay.
But I do take credit for having fun as an actor for a minute. You know, it's like.
And that's fun. Yeah. And I believe you have, I know every month you have a different ad, but you just run them. And that has, though, have those ads helped? I should ask, how have those ads increased your business, if they have?
Well, people hear them. I mean, it's hard to quantify, you know, something like that. But people hear them and tell me all the time that they like the ads. So
yes.
I know that they do cut through. And they try to make them a little humorous. So
exactly.
You
always seem to have a story. You always seem to have a story, if not an anecdote, with all of your ads.
Well, that's what you try to do, is tell a little story.
Yes.
I mean, recently they tried to ask me if I wanted to do 30-second ads instead of 60. And I went, no, the 60s are really good because you can really tell quite a story in 60 seconds.
Exactly.
Actually.
And that's the whole point. Plus your theme song. You've got that song. That's your song. As soon as the music starts, we know it's you.
It's something that the station got that one.
I heard other people want that song, but they can't because it belongs to you.
Oh, is that right?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
It's very, very popular. My goodness,
they
can't have it, so there.
Yeah.
Well, who are your ideal customers, Berkeley?
Well, there's the engagement ring customer, who's someone who's getting engaged. And then probably the next ideal customer is the successful professional who's having his 30th wedding anniversary. I mean, that would be the two sort of sweet spots where a significant piece of jewelry would be important.
Right.
You know.
And you mentioned that you have a staff. How many people work at Grimble Jewelers?
Right now, including myself, there are eight.
Eight. All right. Longtime employees? Or?
I'm very proud of the fact that, yes, I have some very live. One employee has been there 20 years.
Whoa.
And then everybody else has been there quite a few years. So they have very low turnover. So that's one of the things I'm quite proud of.
Yes. Have you ever had an unhappy customer? And if so, how do you handle it?
Here's how you handle it. You let them finish talking before you say a word, because they've been rehearsing this in their mind, right? I mean, as we know, if you're upset at somebody, before you're going in, you're rehearsing it. You have to let that tape loop stop.
Okay.
And then when that stops, you say, "What would you like me to do?" And then 99% of the time, you do whatever it is.
What
is that
they want you to do?
Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, I sort of rewrote our mission statement, and it is that we do not judge our success by the number of our sales, but rather by the number of people who leave feeling better than when they came in. Because we're in the people business.
Beautiful. That means you must have much of happy customers, I can imagine.
Right? We certainly try to.
Berkeley, would you give us your contact information, please?
Yes, with Grimble Jewelers. The phone number is 919-929-2580, and that's straight down the dial. And it's grimblejewelers.com is the website.
2590.
2580.
2580, straight down the, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And somebody once asked me, how'd you get that number? I said, well, if you pay extra, you can get an ergonomically friendly number. And I was kidding, of course.
Of course.
Really,
they believed you. Berkeley, let's take a break.
All right.
And when we come back, let's hear more about your fabulous business, Grimble Jewelers. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to WCHL 97.9. We'll be right back. We are back. My guest today is Mr. Berkeley Grimble, who is the owner and founder of Grimble Jewelers. Let's talk about diamonds, Berkeley, because when we hear your ads, you're always talking about men surprising their lovely ladies or whatever with diamonds. Let's talk about diamonds. What would you like to tell us about diamonds to educate us?
Well, probably most people know more about diamonds than any other gem, because it's what most people are in contact with. If you're a man, that may be the only piece of jewelry you ever buy in your life sometimes. From a business standpoint, it's very interesting because when I started some, 30, 40 years ago, the average jewelry store made all of its money selling diamonds. There was a lot of profit to be made in selling diamonds, pre-internet, et cetera. And you could lose money practically doing the rest of your business because there was so much money there. But now it's completely turned around. There's literally no profit in diamonds. And I tell people that and they're always amazed because, like everything else, the internet has sort of commoditized them. And and the people who are selling diamonds will sell them wholesale or retail. So there's no more wholesale effectively in diamonds. In other words, I can go on a quote-unquote wholesale website and look for a diamond, and the price will be exactly the same on a supposed retail website.
Whoa.
It'll be the same diamond.
Okay.
So that entire has flipped the entire business, you know, on its head. So now you have to look for other places to make money, and we've always been deeply service-oriented. I mean, I started making money at the bench, right? I was a bench jeweler. I fixed things, made things, repaired things. And we're still very, very strong there. And so that sort of keeps us a little more even. We don't rely rely so much upon the traditional jewelry store model of having to sell diamonds and being totally reliant upon Christmas.
Right.
A lot of jewelry stores make half their money. If a mall jewelry store makes half its money at Christmas, you know, which, and that's a stressful thing.
For the year?
For the year, yes.
My mind.
You know, so, you know, it's still, it's a big for us, but it's not nearly as critical, you know, to do that. We're much more even because we do so much service work.
And yet all the ads talk about diamonds, chocolate diamonds, pink diamonds, yellow diamonds.
Because, see, chocolate diamonds, pink diamonds are because they're branching out into these other types of diamonds, the colored diamonds, because there's more money there, right?
Why is there more money in those kind of diamonds?
Because it's a little blinder. You don't really know what this brown diamond should cost, right? As opposed to the white diamonds, which they'll have these certificates, and you can go online, you can price compare. But with color, color is color, right? Either I like this color or I don't like this color. Color is much more personal.
Okay.
Whereas the sort of the diamond business is, like say, sort of commoditized. I mean, you've got, okay, I want a 1-carat VS2 clarity G color. I mean, there's all these things that are easy to learn.
Yeah.
And that's, you decide what you want and then you look it up.
But if there's, I'm hearing you say, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a low margin in diamonds?
Yes.
So how does Grimble Jewelers survive?
Well, two ways. We also buy lots of estate jewelry. That's another thing that we do. We're very strong in estate jewelry. Estate means prior owned. Though we try to look for antiques and period pieces because that's sort of what people like. So we have a very, very strong there. So we do actively buy jewelry and diamonds from our clients. So obviously it's possible then to buy them at a better price than if you have to buy them from the people in New York.
Well, what percent of your business is the estate jewelry?
Probably about maybe 20%, I'd say. It's fairly strong, yeah, fairly big.
Do you have competition in Chapel Hill that erodes your profits?
I mean, there are some other good jewelry stores in Chapel Hill, but I don't think for what we do, we really have any strong competition in Chapel Hill. I mean, there are some other good jewelry stores in the area, mm-hmm. you know, which are our competition.
Okay.
But
what do you think about the national brands? I won't name any names, but those national brands. You go to any country, any shopping mall, and you'll find one of those stores. How do they stay afloat? I'm looking actually to see, are they, my word, not yours, cheating people out of quality?
Well, some of them will sell lower quality diamonds and obviously mark them up. A lot of mall stores exist as credit houses. In other words, they make their money on the 18% that they charge you. You know, that's a significant part of their business model. Is the credit part of it.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
credit, because
yeah.
people just go in and yeah. don't give a check or credit card
right.
for everything.
They finance it themselves and, you know, and make the money on that.
Oh.
You know, which obviously is not possible if you're a small
exactly.
independent jeweler.
What about gold? I know gold fluctuates so much, especially over the years. How does gold affect your business?
Certainly when it starts to go up, you reach a level where people don't want to pay for it. I mean, when I have to look at you and say, this replacement clasp is $75, and you're going, what? You know, and when gold was at such a high price.
Yes.
So, but it kind of all, you know, moderates after a while. I mean, hopefully it's going to stay where it is, I believe. So people always ask me, what's gold going to do?
What's gold going to do?
And my flippant answer is, if I had a 0.1% chance of getting it right, I'd be sitting on my yacht somewhere because leveraging that into
right.
Oh, commodities
my.
Market or
yes.
something.
Yes. What causes you stress in your ownership of Grimble Jewelers?
Well, mostly the stress comes in any small businesses is people, managing people. I mean, I have a fun HR story. My first employee quit the day after I hired my second employee. Because I hadn't explained to the first employee what the second employee was
going to do.
And that was when I went, oh, my God, I really blew that. That's why they pay the managers the big bucks. Because managing people is
people
really hard.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's probably the most, you know, ongoing stressful thing is that you have to manage people. And in a small business, it's a family, right? I mean, people bring their problems.
Their own drama.
Dealing with that.
So you have no family working at Grimble Jewelers?
My son is working there.
Oh, yeah, all right.
My older son is there.
Is it in his blood now, the jewelry business?
Well, he's been doing it a lot of years.
All right, I'd say yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Give us your contact information, if you would, please.
Phone number is 919-929-2580, and the website is Grimble, that's G-R-I-M-B-A-L-L, jewelers.com.
Thank you. Do you ever see yourself expanding?
No.
That's a crisp answer.
That's a great, and that's a whole other, we may not have time to talk about that, but the whole expansion thing, because I looked once into opening a second store, and I did a lot of research, and everything, the fundamentals were all there, I had somebody to run it, et cetera, et cetera, and then somebody said something critical to me. They said, what if you took all the money you put into that second store and invested into your first store? You know, wow, what an interesting thought. And then I realized, first of all, most people don't make money on the second store. You make money on the third or fourth store because that's when the economy of scale starts to kick in. And unless you are super good at basically franchising yourself, you know, you can't be in two places at once. And
right.
So, I mean, a lot of people have told me who opened second stores, the happiest day of my life was when I closed the second store. Because they simply weren't able to. So I have reached my level of incompetence as a manager where I am. Any more management, I'm sure it would not be good.
Understand. Yeah. Thank you. Let's take another break.
Right.
And when we come back, let's hear some more about your fabulous store. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to WCHL 97.9. Please don't go away. We'll be right back. And we are back. My guest today is Berkeley Grimble, who is the owner and founder of Grimble Jewelers. Berkeley, what sets you apart from other jewelry stores?
Probably the depth of our service and our capabilities. So we do have, including myself, five goldsmiths who are on site, two of which are extremely, extremely trained and skilled. And I have one, my jeweler, Tony, who has a graduate degree from Parsons in design. So he's an extremely gifted designer. So we have cover a much broader range of what we can do and what we are willing to do. I mean, most people won't work on, say, silver jewelry or work on costume jewelry. And if we can fix it, we will fix it. You know, we sort of like to keep as much service as possible in that way. And then we also have a very broad, unusual inventory. But I like to say, if you come into Grimble Jewelers, I guarantee you I will show you something you've never seen before.
Ooh.
Because we have some very unusual older pieces, some very unusual one-of-a-kind gems and stones, you know, a lot of things that I have that aren't for sale but that I've collected over the years. So there's sort of more fun around that. So you won't see what you will see in most other jewelry stores.
Oh, that's special.
So that's probably what those two things are probably what
sets you
really,
apart.
Really set us
yeah.
apart.
Yeah.
We also have a laser welder, which is the high-tech thing in jewelry now, and fairly many stores have it. We've had ours for about 20 years, but it enables you to do a lot of really unusual repairs on things you couldn't do otherwise.
Oh.
You know, it's actually a $30,000 machine that you can microscopically laser weld jewelry together. So it means, you know, you don't have heat issues around
okay.
things. So
who knew?
Technically, yeah, that's something that we can do.
All right. You know. Before we started, you said that you had some lessons learned about, anecdotes about lessons learned about being the owner of Grimble Jewelry. Will you share one with us, please?
Well, probably I think the most powerful thing I've learned is that business for which trust is critical, that you will never have anybody more honest than you are working for you. In other words, you have to, as the owner, you have to set the culture of the business, and you have to set the ethics of the business.
Yes.
And so the bar has to be with you, right? And I think most people will want to respond naturally and want to be in an ethically higher environment.
Sure.
And so I think if you want your employees to be honest, then you have to be more honest than they are. I think that is probably my bottom line wisdom from 40 years in the retail trenches.
That's deep, and I love it because that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Most
right.
business owners don't realize that. My goodness. One more time, please provide your contact information for those who may have missed it.
It's Grimble Jewelers, and we are located next door to Whole Foods on the corner of Elliott and Franklin. And the phone number 919-929-2580, and it's grimblejewelers.com.
Would you get that phone number one more time,
yes,
please?
Sir. I'll do it slowly. 919-929-2580.
Right. Berkeley, thank you so much
You're
for
so
coming
welcome.
In to talk
You're
to
so
us
welcome.
Today. I'm
it's
sure our audience just loves hearing your voice. Thank you so
thank you
much.
Much.
My pleasure. You've been listening to WCHL 97.9. My guest today has been Berkeley Grimble, who is the owner and founder of Grimble Jewelers. That's our show for today. Hope you enjoyed it.